today on Real Radio.
Do you battle with depression? Remind God, Lord, I'm yours. Naked I came, naked I'll go into the world. And I know that you will not let anything come into my life that is not Father filtered. And so God, I don't understand it, but I give it to you. You've got to make that decision tonight to do that. God knows.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 3, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. As we head towards the end of the book of Isaiah, we've seen the hand of God over everything that happened both in Isaiah's time and in the time when Jesus was here on earth in a physical body. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but He gave us the hope of Christ's return to rule and to reign and to bring His form of justice to the world. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 57, we learned that when a follower of Jesus Christ dies, their spirit is immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. The Lord knows those who are His and those who are not His. When we reject God, we end up filling our lives with other forms of worship. Many even sacrifice their jobs, their families, and their ultimate souls for worldly pleasures. So today, on day 3 of chapter 57, Pastor Jack tells us that those who are humble in spirit are not perfect, but will ask God for forgiveness when they do wrong. They don't stay in their sin. The Lord delights in protecting and preserving us when we come to Him with a pure heart. And now, continuing in his lesson called The Lord Knows, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Maybe you've had a career life of sorrow and pain. Isn't it amazing tonight? I just heard on the news, America is prospering like never before in our history. Tonight! And death and suicide is rampant in America. We have everything to live for, but we're empty on the inside. We're hurt. And even a believer can get their eyes off of God and succumb to this despondency and despair. So what do we do? I'm going to give you some things. I want you to write them down. If you see somebody not writing this down, I want you to write it on them. Here's what we do. So don't ask me later after service, well, what do I do? I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to say, go on, go listen to the message again. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. This is what we do. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. So what is that? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice who we're fighting against. The devil begins to whisper, it's okay. It's all right. Oh, no, nobody will care. It's the better thing to do. No one's going to see you. It's okay. We're fighting against the devil, the Bible says. That's not only it, but he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That would be easy. Just walk up to somebody and punch him in the face if something's going on. That would be so easy. You could take a guy out in a minute. You know that? You can't do that because it doesn't work. You could drop a nuclear bomb on your enemy, Satan, and it's not going to faze him. That kind of warfare doesn't translate. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Creepy, dark, sinister, demonic powers that speak and whisper, church. They whisper in your mind. I do not believe Satan can read your thoughts. That's a sovereign place for God. But I do believe he's old and very, very smart, and he's been around probably 20 billion humans over the course of humanity, and he knows how to mess with us. So he'll drop jealousy into your mind. He'll put envy. He'll put lust. He's smart. He's the best devil there'll ever be. He knows exactly what he's doing. And the Bible says we as believers fight against invisible powers that move in the night and in the dark. And while we're sleeping, God's angels preside over us. And if they didn't, what would be our story? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Verse 14 says, stand therefore. We end with that one. This next one, regarding standing therefore, how do I do that? Answer, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal of this world, but mighty in God for the pulling down. Look what it does. God's given you and I the power. Church, can you hear me? God has given you his word, which is all powerful for the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. The enemy puts thoughts in your mind and they take root. Your emotions will grab the thought and harbor it. And your emotions and your mind will get together and say it's true. And you'll begin to nurse it and feed it. And you'll water it and it begins to grow. And then you meet that person again and they've done nothing to you, but you've got this thought in your mind and you see them and you're locked and loaded for them. Are you with me? You're locked and loaded. It makes no sense. Where'd that come from? The Bible says it's come from Satan playing on our flesh. And you fight. He goes on in verse 5, casting down arguments. It's all in the mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, your knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. So let me make something up, okay? Please listen, people, because you people wind up quoting me, and I never said that. So I'm going to make something up right now for illustration. Okay? So, now I lost what I was going to say. A thought comes into your mind. And it's like, you know what? That's odd. I've texted my husband 3 times. I've called him 4 times. It's been 3 hours since we've talked. And a thought comes into your mind. I wonder... You know, he did say last week they have a new secretary in the office. No, wait, this is how it happens. You laugh, this is how it happens. He said, where did that thought come from? See, if you don't stop to say, what? You start, oh my gosh. He did say that there's a new secretary in the office. He hasn't returned my calls. You know what Satan's doing? He's greasing the track right there. He went like this, watch. This is a fiery dart. The Bible says he launches them at us. He pulls it out, dips this one in suspicion or doubt, fear, jealousy, and lets it fly. He knows how to do it. He does it to you and I all the time. And the only way that you can fight us fighting that off is taking the word of God and bringing that thought into captivity. You see, yeah, but what if my husband is messing up? You do this. I'm serious. Father God, if my husband's messing up, I pray that the next time he attempts to mess up, he would throw up. He would become violently sick. God, I'm serious. Make him violently sick. If he's with some other woman or if she's with some other man, cause her to just absolutely vomit and lose it. Listen, when women come to me, moms come to me and they say, my husband left me for some other woman. I got 3 kids and I gave up my career 20 years ago so he could have his and I've got nothing. You know what I tell them? You're not gonna like this. I tell them, ma'am, you're gonna have to raise those kids now. And here's what you're gonna do. Have you ever heard of a mama bear? You are now a mama bear. And you're gonna clean your husband's clock so that he won't have 2 pennies to rub together because he's trying to destroy and rob these children and you of what he's created by love and children? Oh, no, no. No, listen, the law was created for the righteous, not for the unrighteous. And you hit that guy so hard, he doesn't know what hit him. He wants to play, he can pay. But those children have got to be protected. And mama bears have got to fight. Isn't it? What about turning the other cheek? Does not apply. That is not the proper use of that verse. You're out of context. I believe this. The word of God is the answer. Very quickly, Charles Spurgeon, the great prince of preachers, I read this week out of his entire preaching career, the greatest preacher of England, of Europe. One third of his preaching career years were spent out of the pulpit because of severe depression. Debilitating depression, Charles Spurgeon. I quote him, "It would be a very sharp and trying experience for me to think that I have an affliction which God never sent me, that the bitter cup was never filled by his hand." Listen to his logic. "That my trials were never measured out by him, nor sent to me by his arrangement of their weight and quantity." Translation, Charles Spurgeon believed that even his despondency was under the jurisdiction of Almighty God. Do you battle with depression? Remind God, "Lord, I'm yours. Naked I came, naked I'll go into the world. And I know that you will not let anything come into my life that is not Father filtered. And so God, I don't understand it, but I give it to you." You've got to make that decision tonight to do that. God knows. You might say, "Well, I need hope now." Here it is. Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after." You've got to make this a discipline of our lives, church. "And that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire," that is to speak to him in his temple. This is the cure. This is how we make it. Moses. Was Moses alone? Did Moses battle depression? Numbers 11, verse 13. "Where am I to get meat to give to these people? For they weep all over me." Listen to him exaggerate. There's 2.5 million people. If they were all weeping on him, he would have drowned. But it feels like it. Listen, will you agree with him? It feels like it. "For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all these people alone." Now he's lost. Listen, his understanding, he's skewed now. He's not alone. God is with him. God never told Moses to bear them, did he? You see what happens when you and I get despondent and depressed? We don't think right. "Because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this," he's talking to God, "then please kill me here and now." Job. Was Job in it alone? After this, Job opened his mouth. Job 3, verse 1. "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth." That's suicidal thoughts, man. "And Job spoke and said, 'May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months." His birthday. "Would rather have never been born." Depression, fear, anxiety, despondency, thoughts of suicide. Elijah. Was Elijah alone? 1 Kings 19:4 says, "But he," Elijah himself, "went a day's journey into the wilderness." Not good. He's alone. He's by himself. "And came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And said, 'It's enough. Lord, take my life. For I am no better than my father's.'" That stings. That's a depressing thought right there. As a Christian, when Satan reminds you, you're no better than your father's. You've not changed. You ever hear Satan say that to you in your life? What about David? Was he alone? Psalm 42:1. "As the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God." Isn't this all beautiful? We love it. Listen, it's all, yes. "For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God?" Verse 3. You can hear the music now. Go down. My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where's your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. See, now he's alone. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Listen to what he says. He's preaching the word of God to himself. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. This is David. Jeremiah, was he alone? Jeremiah 20, verse 15. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father saying, a male child has been born to you. Not only wish I was dead, I wish somebody would slap the guy that announced my parents were having a baby. Make him very, very, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave. These are men of God that went to the word of God to rescue them from the certain death of despondency. Was Paul alone, the great apostle? 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, all of them, church, all of them, with which we are ourselves are in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or our comfort also abounds through Christ. Verse 6. Now, if we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective, enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7. For our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the comfort. For we do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. They wanted to die. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God, who raises the dead. Finally, Jesus. Was Jesus alone in this? In Matthew 27, verse 45, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, from noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness fell over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? If Jesus cried out to God in his hour of despondency, listen, Jesus took upon him in that moment of the cross. The Bible said the world, as it were, turned black as God heaped upon Jesus our sins. And Jesus in his humanity said, why, as a human, have you forsaken me? His humanity came out, God in flesh. Why? Did heaven shout back to him? Did angels whisper in his ear? Oh, Jesus, you're doing this so that those for whom you're dying for will never have to say this. That they will never say, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not possible, Christian, for God to forsake you. It's not possible. I don't care what you're feeling. Yeah, but save it. God never loses. He never quits. It's impossible for him to fail. His word can never be contradicted. He's life. I'm going to ask you to will you allow this simple wood bench here, this thing, the platform, will you allow this brick and this wood to be an altar tonight? Would you do that? Would you let that happen? For you tonight to leave here something before God? Maybe you're despondent. And you might want to come up here and leave it here tonight. I'm actually saying leave it here tonight. Leave it. Maybe you know someone and you want to represent them tonight as an intercessor. And I'm going to ask you to come and leave them here tonight. I'm going to, listen, right now as we begin to pray, just tell people, get out of the way. I've got to get up there. And we don't need another reason. If you do need tonight special prayer, there's going to be deacons and pastors, prayer elders up here to pray with you. But listen, you may be here tonight and you're going to say, you know what? I have a friend that's contemplating suicide and I'm going to go intercede for them right now. I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to ask God to save their life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking about taking your life. Maybe it's crossed your mind. Maybe it's just too hard and you're thinking, you know what? I'd rather just drown. That is the enemy speaking. And I want you to shut him up tonight by bringing it to the altar. And I don't care if the line goes out the doors. God doesn't care. He understands the intent of your heart. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name, my God, thank you that you will never forsake us. You can't, because you said you wouldn't. He who comes to me, I will no wise refuse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And Lord, tonight, if there'll be any here that are determined this evening, I can't go any further. I've had these thoughts, or I know my friend is going through it. Could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a child, could be a parent. Oh God, please, may tonight be a night of power of your Holy Spirit. You said in Isaiah 57, I will heal. So church, you come. And even if tonight you're not a Christian and you're saying, that's it, I don't know what's going on, but I want this life, then you come. But make your way now. If it's tapping the altar, if it's getting on your knees, I don't care what you do. That's between you and God. But you come now. Don't be shy, please. Life, your life, the life of others depends.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 3. Again, thanks for being here with us today. And you know, when darkness surrounds you, don't allow your feelings to take over. Stand on the Word of God and allow His words of comfort to take away your fear. The Lord Knows, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Now, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, but you really don't know just what happened or where to go from here, we'd like to help you along in your journey. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab that's labeled Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. There's a video there about knowing God that you can watch, along with a brief explanation of the salvation message. Once you truly understand the love God has for you and the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross for you, it's going to change your life, literally, forever. That Know God tab also gives you some basic steps that'll help you grow closer to Christ and help you share His love with others. And please let us know about your decision to follow Jesus by giving us your email address. We're here to help you understand that love that Jesus is offering to you for free, no matter who you are or where you are. Again, our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.